Welcome to the Midday with Vicki and Norman and...
And Andrew. Andrew Garland is a singer who's joining us, a baritone. Welcome.
Hello.
It's your third time in Madison, I understand.
Yes, it is. I love it here.
It just keeps getting better, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Especially the weather today. I can't ask for better than that. You're an opera singer, baritone, and you have several things going on here, but we'll kind of focus on some living American song composers during our conversation for the most part.
Yes, that's on my recital program tomorrow night. It's all songs by living American composers.
And you have a special interest in one who has a connection to Wisconsin, Lee Hoiby.
Right. His connection to Wisconsin is that he grew up in Madison and graduated from the School of Music at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
So advantages, disadvantages in working with a living composer?
It's all advantages, really. I mean, they're so grateful to have their music performed, and especially with someone like Lee. He's an excellent pianist. He actually started his career as a concert pianist, and so he writes challenging music for the piano and loves to play it. And he appreciates having me sing his music, and I mean, who else would have the insight into his music than himself?
And you are working on, I just want to mention quickly that you're working on a whole CD of his songs with him at the piano.
Yes. Just last May in Mills Hall, he and I and Julia Faulkner, who's on the voice faculty at Madison, recorded a CD of all songs by Lee Hoiby with Lee at the piano, and that will be out on the Naxos label sometime in the future. It's not there yet, so don't go looking for it, but keep an eye open.
All right. Now, we'll back away from Lee. We'll hear maybe some of those, maybe a song or two, a sneak preview from that CD.
Yes.
But we'll maybe take a listen to something by Stephen Paulus, who is another composer from our area in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hear Midnight, and maybe you could set this up a little bit for us and talk a bit about Stephen Paulus as a composer.
I believe this comes from one of, if not his first, song cycle. It was premiered by Thomas Hampson just last year. So we want to talk about new music. This song cycle is a year old. The poems are by Ted Kooser, who, as many of you know, is the former poet laureate. And it's brilliant music, if I may say so myself.
And who's the pianist here?
The pianist here is Donna Lowy. She's a longtime collaborator of mine from Cincinnati.
Midnight by Stephen Paulus from 2006 with baritone Andrew Garland.
Somewhere in the night, a dog is barking, except the thoughts and memories of many loves.
Midnight.
By Stephen Paulus, and Andrew Garland was the baritone, pianist Donna Lowy, and it was recorded at the Phillips Collection, you say?
Yes, last year.
And a good spot for contemporary music, because there's contemporary art there. And
right.
Contemporary audience, too.
Yes. Yes. Oh, and in that performance, there were four composers on the program, and three of them were present at the performance. That was really something special. And then a few days later, we went to another venue called the Cosmos Club, and Stephen Paulus was present there. So we had all four composers for those performances. Yeah. That's really something. You know, it's a tradition to acknowledge the composer after a performance, so I found myself doing that after every piece.
Hey, for an action-packed evening.
They have a big part in it, too. Well, I'm wondering what music you grew up with. You're a young person in your 20s, probably.
Well, I went through a variety of listening. I was introduced a little bit to classical music. You know, I had heard Peter and the Wolf, the Nutcracker Suite, you know, the kinds of things that are geared towards children, and I had a lukewarm interest in it. And then I started taking piano lessons, and I enjoyed playing classical music to the best of my abilities. And of course, as a teenager, I listened to a lot of rock, but also got into jazz. I attempted to be a jazz pianist, but I'm still an avid jazz listener. I played in a rock band for a while. That was not a successful venture. But finally,
what instrument?
Bass, electric bass. Yeah, I'm not. I guess I'm not a bass player personality.
Oh,
whatever that is.
We'll have to talk about that later.
Yeah, research that.
Yeah, but I got into singing right when I got into college. I did high school chorus, and that was fun. And I wanted to do chorus for fun in college as well. So signed up as a non-major, and the chorus director there, he heard me audition, and he said, "You should take voice lessons." I said, "No, I'm not taking this seriously. It's just for fun." He called my dorm room the next morning at 8 a.m. As all of you college students know, that's a cardinal sin. And he said, "Voice lessons sign-ups are today." So
I got your attention.
All right. I took 1 half-hour voice lesson, and I made more progress in that half-hour voice lesson than I did in 11 years of piano instruction. So I realized, I think I have a knack for this, and I changed my major the next day.
That was a fruitful phone call.
How nice to find yourself. Mm-hmm.
And he still takes credit for getting me started. Although, I'll say my wife has a lot to do with it, because she lured me into high school chorus in the first place. We were dating in high school at the time. Said, "Well, you can come take class with me every day if you're in chorus." You see how that turned out. So she gets a lot of the credit too.
That's great.
I would say so.
Well, let's talk about Lee Hoiby a little bit. We'll hear a couple of the songs that you've recorded on this sneak preview CD. The first one is called "Beginning My Studies," which is appropriate here after a little discussion.
Yes, this comes from his song cycle entitled "I Was There," 5 poems of Walt Whitman. And in my humble opinion, it's the best, it's my favorite song cycle ever. And Lee says it's his favorite song cycle, too. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderfully sensitive setting of 5 poems. And they have sort of a general life-to-death development. And I believe we're going to hear the beginning and the end of this cycle. And so we hear "Beginning My Studies." The centerpiece of that song cycle is his setting of "O Captain, My Captain," which is a war horse of a piece. You'll be able to hear that on the Naxos CD whenever it comes out. But yeah, it's my favorite song cycle. You'll hear Lee playing it himself. You'll hear me singing. I first performed this song cycle with Lee at the piano 6 years ago. Hmm. And so I've had a long relationship which started with working with him.
Wonderful. So, "Beginning My Studies," and then "Joy, Shipmate, Joy."
"Beginning my studies, the first step pleased me so much. Joy, shipmate, joy."
Lee Hoiby playing his own music. There are 2 of the songs from the Walt Whitman cycle, "I Was There," and Andrew Garland was the baritone, and he's with us in the studio here during our midday today. We're going to talk about
lyrics, for example.
Ah, yes.
And as you're working with these composers, do you ever say something to the effect, "This lyric looks really good on paper, but when you try to get all those words in, it's difficult"? Or, I mean, is there a give and take when it comes to lyrics?
When working with a good composer, a world-class composer, such as Lee Hoiby, he knows how to write for the voice and will rarely write a passage that is impossible to articulate. And so even with the songs you'll hear later in this program and in my recital tomorrow night, there's a lot of words there. They're all in English. And by the way, when you go to the program, there will be no texts printed in the program.
The idea being that you should be able to understand all the words?
You will.
Wow, what a treat.
I guarantee.
That's really saying something.
Mm-hmm. But great. I have encountered, I mean, there are always challenges with, you know, the great composers of old and with contemporary composers. Sometimes they write something that's challenging but not impossible to articulate.
All right, so something like, 'Twas Brillig and the Sly the Toes and Gyre and Jimble in the Wabe. I mean, is that a piece of cake to sing stuff like that?
Yes. I create the illusion of it being easy. I make it look easy. But no, you really need to pay attention to each word and have it come across sounding just clear and easy.
So what prompted the setting of the Jabberwocky, do you suppose?
You know, I don't know. Other than it's a classic poem, and it has been set by other composers, both in solo versions and in choral versions. Other great poems like "O Captain, My Captain" has been set by many composers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it has a universal appeal. And of course, what you want to do is you don't want to take away from the effect of the poem on its own. I mean, it stands alone as a poem. You want to, if anything, enhance the words of the poem in your own style as a composer.
So there are several things going on here, and the setter of Jabberwocky is?
Lee Hoiby.
The very same Lee Hoiby.
"'Twas Brillig and the Sly the
of action there. It's a little audio drama you have going.
Jabberwocky, and the setting was by Lee Hoiby, Andrew Garland singing those words. And as we were listening, some of those words have come into fairly common usage, and wondering if were they originally in this poem or made up by someone
else?
If
any of your listeners out there want to write to the station and give us the history of the word chortle, or
burble, perhaps galumph.
Yeah, galumph. We use that word sometimes. If anyone knows,
hypothesize that Snickersnacks are something you get in your bag at Halloween. That's unconfirmed.
Lots of fun poetry there. And you're speaking of poetry. You'll be doing a session this afternoon at the university.
Yes, I will be teaching the advanced poetry class at 2:30 today, and apparently it's open to the public. There are 15 students in the class, and they're going to hold it in the 500-seat Mills Hall.
I guess there are a few seats
yeah.
available.
Left. Mm-hmm.
But I sort of invited myself to teach this class, and I'll admit the main purpose of me doing that is to get more people to come to the recital. You know, a lot of people put a lot of effort into organizing this recital, and I'm disappointed to see that sometimes, most of the time, not a lot of people come to see it. And I'm disappointed, you know, not for my own sake, but so many people come up to me after the program and they say, "I did not want to come to this. My wife, my teacher,
really?
My so-and-so dragged me here.
Or
I was tired and I didn't want to. And I loved it so much. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect to like it at all, and I loved it." And, you know, I don't know how to tell you. I mean, you're hearing some of this music now. This is classical music being written right now. It's in English. You don't need to read any information to prepare for this concert. You just show up and you can appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I guarantee.
Snickersnacks will be served.
So we'll hear from Stephen Paulus tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. Jake Heggie, who is another great songwriter. Lee Hoiby. And some new names that you may encounter.
Yes. Stephen Mark Cohn is a Cleveland composer, and he has written 15 folk song settings, which are, in my opinion, successors to the Aaron Copland Old American songs. And we like to call them the new Old American songs. They're great. They're just a lot of fun. And we put together a group from his book 3. And yeah, they're just fun, and there's a good variety in the program there. The other composer is Jeffrey Wood. And I think he's the best composer you never heard of. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really promote his music a lot. A few songs are published in Schirmer, and he the rest of his is published by himself, and he sends the music out to performers. But I'm doing two song cycles by this composer, Geoffrey Wood, in the program tomorrow night. One is entitled Night, and in my opinion, it's a masterpiece. It's four songs, seemingly Holocaust-themed, but actually they take on a greater theme of human experience. Words really can't describe how profound these songs are, but I wish you could hear them. I do actually have a video of one of these songs on the web. If you go to the American Arts Network, you can see a video of the song called Psalm, which is a profound funeral dirge, and we filmed it in a recording studio. But if you come to the program, you can hear it as well.
Mm-hmm. And just a few details about the program. It's tomorrow night, Friday, at 8 o'clock in the 300-seat Mills Hall, so there's mm-hmm. room for you.
Yes.
Pianist will be Martha Saywell, who is a fantastic pianist here on campus.
She is. Mm-hmm. And she took over this program not 2 weeks ago, because my original pianist had injured her arm. And she has done a bang-up job mm-hmm. of preparing all of this music. She's to be commended. You will be impressed by her playing.
So, Andrew Garland, I wish you well. Enjoy the rest of your stay in Madison. And we're going to hear...
One more. We have time for one more before the quiz question. Okay.
And this is a little quieter piece.
Mm-hmm. To an Isle in the Water. I think the poem is by Yeats. And this was originally dedicated to a good old friend of Lee Hoiby's and someone who has taught me a lot, actually, Lorenzo Malfatti.
She carries in the dishes.